climbers. Today's guest on The Climb, we got a good one. He wrote, in case you didn't know, for Brett Young, he wrote, I Got Away With You with Luke Combs. And today he is climbing with us. Please welcome. We're going to have a great interview for you with Tyler Reeve.
Welcome to The Climb! This is a show dedicated to helping singers, songwriters, and indie artists like you create leverage in the music business. Leverage is the key in the new music business. You're not going to be plucked out of obscurity. The big company isn't going to make it happen for you. You've got to make it happen for yourself. That's the bad news. The good news is you don't need anybody's permission. You just need to create leverage in the music business. C-L-I-M-B. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. That's a backstrom from my co-host and good friend, Mr. Brent Baxter, who's also a hit songwriter with cuts by Alan Jackson, Randy Travis, Lady A, Joe Nichols, and more. Got a couple number ones in the last 18 months in Southern Gospel, making miracles happen in so many different levels. And what I love about Brent is he helps songwriters like you turn pro by revealing how you write like a pro, do business like a pro, and then ultimately get you connected to the pros with those mission-critical relationships that are going to get you to climb up the ladder. You can find Brent very easily at songwritingpro.com. Once again, that's songwritingpro.com.
And I would like to introduce you to my co-host, Johnny Dwinnell. Johnny owns Daredevil Production. They're breaking artists digitally by identifying new fans through data. Look, if you're an artist looking to increase your streams, blow up your video views, sell more live show tickets, and get discovered by new fans, TV, and music industry pros, then Daredevil Production can help. Daredevil has worked with multi-platinum artists like Colin Ray, Tracy Lawrence, Ty Herndon, and Andy Griggs, just to name a few. You can find Johnny at daredevilproduction.com. That is production singular, no S, and there is no S because there is no other Johnny D. Johnny.
All right, this is Johnny D from the Climb Show Music Business Podcast on American Songwriting Magazine's Podcast Network. You can find that at americansongwriter.com/podcast, and we are filming right now live from the Nashville Nights International Songwriting Festival in Odense, Denmark. And I'm here with Tyler Reeve, one of the talents on there. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Can't complain. It's awesome to be here in Denmark and beautiful country. Been having a great time.
Yeah. First time in Denmark?
Yeah. First time. Well, first time staying in Denmark. I think I've passed through Copenhagen once before. But
okay.
But yeah, it's been a great week. A lot of good food. Some good drinks and good
times. Any standout favorites?
Man, honestly, I've had some great meals. There was a place called Passfall that was like a Michelin-rated restaurant we kind of stumbled into one afternoon. And at the end of the lunch rush, I guess, so we kind of had the hotel to or the restaurant to ourselves. And it was amazing.
Really nice.
Good. Yeah.
I love it. So you've done a few shows already. Are you done now, or do you have a couple? Do you have another one tonight?
I play tonight. Myself and Eric Pasley and Scott Sean White play tonight at 7 o'clock.
Great. Okay, I'm going to be at that show. I like that. Any up and comers that stand out for you? I mean, everybody on this festival, first of all, is super talented. Just wonder if there's a performance or a song or something that just hits you.
Yeah. You know, I've gotten to know Ava Page a little bit with her. Her parents are actually out at the same place where I play golf a lot. And so I've gotten to know her a little bit over the last year or two. So watching her play and sing has been awesome. She's definitely got a great future in front of her. And I got to hear Cameron Havens the other night. He sounded great.
Yeah.
And then I haven't heard Adam Wakefield in a while. I know, I guess Adam's not really like a newcomer, but he really can... He can sing and knows his way around the song really well, so that was fun watching him.
Yes, he does. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any thoughts on Denmark? What's your favorite thing about Denmark now that you've had a chance to kind of hang out for a little bit?
Man, this town is awesome, actually. I would think initially I'd never heard of Odense, so I thought it was, you know, a town of like a couple thousand people. I didn't realize it was 200,000 people,
but
it still has this kind of small town feel. And beautiful. I went to the zoo. I went to the...
There's a zoo here?
Yeah, it's a great zoo. Actually, like one of the, I guess they say one of the best in the region, like this area. And it was really awesome. We went yesterday and then we went down to Egeskov, which is a castle about 45 minutes away, which was amazing. beautiful gardens and all this other crazy stuff. So it was really cool, man.
Awesome. So for you, let me ask you this, because I've been asking a lot of songwriters this that are also working artists too. How do you put your team? How do you build your team? What are you looking for in as far as the pieces of the puzzle are concerned to continue to build your brand, to honor it, to right. build upon it, and achieve the things you want to achieve?
Man, I think the important thing is finding people that believe in you and believe you as a captain of that ship. I mean, it's sometimes people have this idea of what they think you should be as an artist, or where they think everyone's goal is the same as an artist, which might not be the case. So, you know, I definitely saw myself years ago trying to be someone that was selling out an arena and doing the things that Luke or Jason or any of those guys are doing. As things, you know, go along and I became more on the writing side, focusing on that, and then touring elsewhere and doing other things, like, that's not necessarily my vision for myself. So what's important to me is finding people that understand that, you know, I've finally figured out who I am, and it takes a while for anyone to do that. Some people mm-hmm. never do, but and once you figure out who you are, what you want to say as an artist, you have to find people that believe in that and believe in you, I guess, putting that out there. But the cool thing is, then as a writer, you still get to be a part of other people's message and other people's branding and all that kind of stuff. So it really gives you more of a kind of eclectic, you don't feel like you're kind of selling yourself short on anything. I feel like it's great to be able to go in and write a song that's completely this way with one artist, and then another artist that has a whole different message or branding, and then writing stuff that I put out myself that's my message or my branding or whatever it may be. And messages, I don't mean those in the sense of like some deep message, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, some songs do have that. Some songs are those inspirational songs or those you can get through it songs, and some are rip your heart out songs. But sometimes your message is, I want to go get drunk on whiskey mm-hmm. in a bar and listen to music. I mean, you know what I mean? So I don't mean that when I say message, like some deep thing, but it's cool as a writer and then also as an artist in that sense that you really just get to partake in all of it.
Yeah. So you can honor your brand and do the things that you need to do to keep that very concise and very clear, and then also scratch all these other itches.
Yeah, of course.
With
yeah.
different artists.
Exactly.
And fun with that. Yeah. That's interesting. Any, if I asked you, what are some common mistakes that you see young songwriters making, what would pop into your head?
I mean, I don't know. I think mistakes are actually really important. So what I see as a mistake may not necessarily, it may be a mistake that's necessary for them. Mm-hmm. Because I made a million and I still make them all the time. And I think that is really, really the most important thing are your mistakes and failures, which end up being the building blocks for successes. But I feel like right now there's a big emphasis on, you know, and I had this conversation with a couple of my friends here just a couple nights ago, but a lot of the emphasis with newer songwriters and artists is all on TikTok and social media and everything else. And it's like, I understand the importance of that piece of the pie, but I still think that the biggest part of the pie is the music, is the song that makes people believe in it. And, you know, take away all the visuals and all the videos and all the, here's how we make this viral, and play someone a song in a dark room and let them just listen to the song. Does that song really hit them, you know, in a real way? And like I said, it doesn't have to be like a sad, it can still be a fun, upbeat song about whatever. But I mean, does that message come across without the, I don't know, kind of, I guess, coating, like icing of the videos on TikTok and social media and everything else. Mm-hmm. So I think really your base ingredients, it's still a great song. And so I think sure. sometimes that gets washed over a little bit. You know, a lot of people are like, this guy has a million followers and blah, 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 and doing all this. And it's like, yeah, but if you go listen to those songs without that, they're still lacking a little bit. So
yeah. Well, that's true. And you know, I mean, people are getting deals just because they have a big audience, and the labels know that they can sell something.
Right.
And I have an artist that's in my head right now, but I'm not going to say the name, but we all know who that is. I do think though, it's interesting that The focus, the hard shiny object like TikTok and social media, and there's the dopamine hit of the followers and all that. But I believe strongly that's an amazing way to promote it, to promote the music on digital. It's different from a broadcast platform, which is foreign, but there's some artists that I see kind of touching on that. Cause I'm always wondering, like, how do you get to seven? You know, like when you're on radio, you have those it's seven times you got to hear that song before it right. becomes subconsciously recognizable. And as sure. artists and songwriters, we have to remember we have the curse of knowledge. I mean, I can walk into a freaking mall in the middle of Christmas and with all the noise and chaos and something comes out over the speaker. I'm like, oh, I like that kick drum sound. I like the hair on that right. D bass, you know, and yeah. it's, you know who's playing it, right? And, yeah. But the average listener, they don't. And when they get to choose what they're going to see, it's like they have to be able to develop a relationship with the artist first before the song. And you're right, that song yeah. is so important. But it's not what they get first on the digital platform like they do on the broadcast platform. Have you done any pivots at all in your marketing sort of like? Have you had to step up to that? I mean, you're all over the radio and that's great. I'm just wondering if you guys think about that or if that's a challenge for you. How do you guys view that?
I'm sure that my management probably thinks it's a challenge because I just am like... I'm not great at social media. I mean, I'm not like all right, we have to post at 11 a.m. today and we have to post at 6 p.m. tonight. And I know a lot of people have kind of a regimented way that they post and things that they post. Mm-hmm. I'm a little more organic on it since I'm sure when we're like, if we start to push something soon coming up or something, that'll become a little more that. But, you know, man, I'm really happy what I'm doing and where I am as a songwriter and artist-wise, like, I don't feel any pressure to, like, change, like, what I'm doing. You know what I mean? I'm happy with what I'm doing. I feel like, of course, we could do something way better and get a lot more attention to things, but I don't feel the pressure to do that. I'm sure my manager does. Everything yeah. They probably hate me. They're like, I can't.
And your team
you don't
is
know
the
pressure.
Part of their job yeah. to make that happen right, for you. Sure. I just was curious how they felt about that. And, right. you know, oh my gosh, I'm brain farting on his name. Biggest record right now this year.
Morgan.
The little 8.5 minute shorts that he's doing.
Yeah.
Right. Where he's doing more than just like a music video. He's also doing yep. some other video content where the song basically becomes the soundtrack mm-hmm. to that. And I could be wrong. I mean, maybe he's got a cinematic itch that he's trying to scratch, but I think it's also whether they're, and I think they're intentionally doing it, but it's a brilliant
right,
digital yeah. marketing play. You
yeah,
know?
Absolutely.
And so
yes.
I see some of that kind of slowly happening in an industry that was built on broadcast, you know, and this is
right.
what yeah. they know. And so it's interesting to see the pivots happen. And I just wondered, I was looking for new ideas.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, fresh out of...
I'm not sure.
My ideas go to
the
songs.
Manager.
Yeah, yeah. My ideas are saved for the songs. I don't know if I'm really privy to like how to change the side of that. But I mean, I love art in the sense of all of that. I do. I think it's really cool some of the stuff Morgan's doing and Luke Combs doing, everything else where they're doing a lot of, they are bringing a cinematography side to music into their performances. Their shows are becoming more, I mean, kind of 3D and with the sound, like it's the whole vibe and experience, which I think is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, I think it'd be cool for that to be going along with my music that I do or anything else. But I don't know that I'm really the guy to like lay it out and be like, here's how this is going to go. I focus really on the songs and playing and singing them, you know.
I love that, man. So let's talk about that. What's next for you when you get back to America? What's the rest of the year look like for Tyler Reed?
Man, just a lot more writing, getting back on the road. There's a bunch of festivals and stuff coming up that I'll be out playing on and getting back on the road with some of my buddies that are touring again, going out on the road with them and writing and playing some shows. And then, I don't know, we may start recording some stuff. We're kind of kicking that around right now, just okay. figuring out where that goes. But it's just, I'm excited to kind of get back to a little bit of normalcy as long as it keeps going that direction of just...
fingers crossed on that.
Right? Yeah, that's right, yeah.
How do you do work-life balance? It's hard to be away on the road from the roots from the family? Do they come with you? Do
Some. I mean, and that's been the nice thing about kind of doing some of this stuff solo, just the acoustic stuff, instead of traveling full band and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of nice because, you know, I do get a chance to take my wife and son with me here and there. Or if I'm not, then I kind of feel a little more, I guess, like free to move about. Like I can shoot somewhere and then fly right back out or fly in or whatever. It's a little bit less, I guess, to plan for one person to go do all that stuff than it is a bunch. But yeah, man, I mean, I work really, really hard. I exhaust myself with a lot of the work I do, but at the same time, I play pretty hard too. And I think that's important. I really enjoy my life. I enjoy being able to travel and, you know, have a good time. Mm-hmm. And I also understand that when it comes to writing songs or performance or everything else, that takes a ton of work too. So
yeah.
I don't know if it's a good balance, in the sense it's balanced that it's all the way this way and all the way this way,
right,
instead of moderation in the middle, but it seems to work.
And everybody's got a different kind of formula, so I'm always interested in, you know, how does one do that? What's the secret that you found to you know, happy wife, happy life, and
right,
where you are doing what you need to do as a spouse, as a father, and all that. And it's a tricky thing to do when you have to travel.
Yeah, no doubt. Job, yeah, you know? It definitely makes you miss home more when you the more and more you do it, the more you're, as your family grows and everything else. I mean, you definitely, you know, want to get back when you can. But at the same time, I enjoy being on the road and performing and being out there writing and catching up with buddies too. And so it's all kind of part of it.
I love it. So Billy Joel said that all his songs are his babies. And he loves them all equally, like they're his children. Some of them grow up to be doctors and lawyers, and some of them grow up to be delinquents. So having set it up that way, is there one of your babies that you just, is your favorite?
You know, I mean, I agree. Reason? I guess I agree a little bit with Billy Joel. I mean, I think that, you know, there are certain parts of songs and certain songs that mean a lot to you. I don't think I have one favorite song. I mean,
it's a shitty question to ask, Tyler.
Yeah, no, don't worry. And so you get a shitty answer. I don't really have one. No, but I mean, I definitely have, there's probably, you know, a handful that I could point to and say, you know, these songs mean more to me, or I guess say they mean a lot to me more than others.
Was there one where maybe it stuck a certain way with you because the birthing process was something that was maybe more unusual than the others?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that that's the case. I mean, like, obviously, you know, hits are important to you and always mean a lot to you because, I mean, they're really keeping you going for...
Sure.
You know, financially and giving you some stability and everything. So, and usually, you know, a lot, if you're lucky, the hit songs that you're putting out there aren't terrible hit songs. I mean, you know, which there are some, but a lot of songs that have to go through that many hoops to make it to become a hit song are good songs and deserving of that. So, you know, those have a special place in my heart. I've also written songs that didn't quite make it, that, you know, died at 40 and that are still really near and dear to me. And then I have other songs that may never make a record that I like for one reason or another, but I definitely can't point to one. Okay. And I think that really it's like, you know, I don't know. I'd sit down and say, these 15 are my favorite I've been a part of, but you know.
Right, no, I got you. Yeah. It's always interesting to get a little, you know, poke a little bit, see what somebody says. All right, so last question. What, for the American songwriter audience, what would be like maybe the most profound advice that you could give to aspiring songwriters or what is the biggest lesson that you learned where you just had like this aha moment where something certainly clicked in your career where you learned and you're like, oh, now I get this piece of it?
I think that, I think a lot of people early on get discouraged writing because they feel like they're writing, with the same people over and over again, and they feel like they're not getting anywhere. But I think that's a really important process. And I think when you have an opportunity to write with people who are have proven success as a songwriter, you really have to be able to listen and kind of like a sponge, just like take in the way that you see them creating. And that doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily be as good as they are or have the same strengths as they do, but you can really kind of build that up, I think, in like learning how certain people are really melody driven and drive it right with a melody, and other guys are lyric guys, and some do both, and some are, you know, kind of hype guys being like, oh yeah, and you know, that's great, and they kind of keep it right going. And I think if you can kind of try and at least be strong in each part of that, strong enough in each part of that, so that you could really move a right if you need to on your own, or sit down and write a song by yourself, I think that's important. And I think that there's also a lot you can learn from songwriters that might not have a ton of success yet or might not ever have it. And, you know, those are the kind of things you, here's what you don't want to do in a room. Here's what you do want to do in a room. What makes you feel good when you write with somebody that they're doing that makes you want to go in and have someone else write with you and want to write with you again and again. And I think the more and more you do that, you know, people start getting kind of weeded out. And you end up kind of in a class, you know, you have like these writers you kind of came up with, and you might not be the exact same age or anything, but you moved to town at the same time, or, you know, had your first hits at the same time. And as that goes along, you start realizing that circle gets smaller and smaller, and you're able to go in and write with, you know, legendary songwriters like Tim Nichols, or you get to go in and write with guys that have multiple hits that have been really crushing lately, and like Eric Paisley, or, you know, that kind of stuff. So, and who are both here in Denmark, which we get to write this morning. And so I feel really lucky to be able to do that. But I understand that that doesn't mean I could just walk up and be like, hey, I want to write with Tim and Eric when I first moved to town, and that's just going to happen. You know what I mean? It's like those circles get smaller and smaller, and people get protective of them because they work their ass off to get into them.
Yep.
So, you know, but I think it, when you do get a chance with some of those guys that are in it, you know, take it seriously, show up prepared, and don't try and just sit in a room and hope they write a hit and your name's on it. You know, I mean, like, go in there and really give it the best you've got. And if you're, you know, have a great idea or a great song and it comes to the top, more power to you. And then you do that more and more, and off you go.
And off you go. All right.
That's right.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate you taking the time. I know you're really busy right now. Thank you, guys. Johnny D from the Climb Show Music Business Podcast on American Songwriter Magazine's podcast network. It's at americansongwriter.com/podcast. And we are, once again, filming live from the Nashville Nights International Songwriting Festival in Odense, Denmark. And Mr. Tyler Reeve here was graceful enough to take the time and come in.
Thanks,
and
man. This room.
Good to have you, man.
Appreciate
good to get
it.
To know you
thank
too.
You, buddy. Appreciate
have a good
it.
One. All right, so that concludes the Tyler Reeve interview. Second time he's been on our show, by
that's
the way.
That's right.
Because he did
first
a song called
Challenge. Second time he's been on the show. There we go.
That's right. Or he's family now. He's a friend of the show, we can say.
That's right.
Anyway, love hearing that story, guys. Make sure if you got questions that you want to ask the hit songwriters for the 2022 Nashville Nights International Songwriting Festival, please send that into info@daredevilproduction.com. Put questions on the subject line, or just respond to Brent's email or my email when you get it. We're going to be interviewing Tony Arata and Tony Lane, Lee Thomas Miller and Bobby Pinson, Chris Wallen, Marla Cannon Goodman, Bridget Tatum, and Emma Zink. We want to know what you want to know. What do you want to know? Tell us, and we'll ask them. This podcast exists because we want you to win, so keep on climbing.
And we'll see you at the top. Ooh, ride a great-